Hagar. It's such a familiar name. We all know her story. She's Sarah's surrogate. She's a slave. Second best. Outcast. Disposable. Alienated. A wanted, unwanted child. Ishmael. Hagar has no voice, no power, no place. She lives at the behest of others who dictate the terms of her life and probably her death. A life of servitude laced with fear and resentment. Her future precarious and unknown. It's a pretty unthinkable way of life for us now, where we have individual rights and laws that protect a person from such enslavement. But it was real then, and this story continues on today in numberless lives of men, women, and children all over the world. Think of refugees, the hungry, the occupied, the dispossessed, the violated, the desperate. Only God does not come to save them and transform their lives. On reading this passage from Genesis, I was constantly struck by the notion that the children of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, are at the root of the conflict in the Middle East today. Isaac carries God's promise and can be seen as a father of the modern nation of Israel. In contrast, Ishmael is to be found in the beleaguered land of Palestine. The same inequality and unjust dominance of one brother over the other continues centuries later and unabated today. Well, in our reading, God tells Abraham not to worry about casting out Hagar and Ishmael. God has ordained that Ishmael, like Isaac, will found a great nation because he too is Abraham's offspring. God's covenant is with Abraham and to all his descendants. The reading tells us God was with the boy. Yet we have this savage and deadly conflict between the two peoples that is so deeply rooted as to appear to be irreconcilable. Ancient feuds and rivalries between close neighbors or tribes is the stuff of vicious and bloody war. It always has been. It is, just as Jesus says in Matthew's gospel today about families and neighbors, where a person's foes will be one of the household, your neighbor, the person over the fence, maybe even your daughter. People who have lived alongside one another, who run amok with madness. Think of Rwanda with the Hutu and the Tutsi, or Kosovo with the Serbs and the Croats, and again in our time, thousands of years later with the devastation and division of Palestine for the creation of Israel. This has led, as we all know, to a far-reaching and incendiary outpouring of hatred and death. The conflict is about land taken, different cultures, different stories that arise out of Abraham, and faith. However, for me, on a day-to-day basis, it is the sad stories about ordinary people who try to live a normal life that tug at me and make it real. I hear on the news about a Palestinian mother and her four children sitting down to eat together being blown apart by a stray bomb. And I blanch with the nearness, the reality. It could be you, it could be me. I know the unholy thing that is war and the pain and the grief and the fury of it all. It is a horrible and gory reminder, and it isn't just about premature and unconscionable death, but such grief and such waste, the waste of lives, the family, the love and laughter, the trials, hopes, and the infinitely precious potentials that are just annihilated, turned to dust. Becoming fuel for even greater vengeance that ever simmers just under the surface. To this seemingly impossible and deeply complex problem that is a major source of hostility the world over, I would like to offer some heartening actions and reflections being put forward by two prominent people. The first is Daniel Barenboim. He is a brilliant and world-famous Jewish musician and conductor, and was the Reith Lecturer for 2006. His lecture series was titled, In the Beginning Was Sound. In his lectures, he offers his lived understanding of the conflict and his contribution to a better understanding between Israel and Palestine. The overarching title of his lectures is a sort of alliteration on the opening lines of Genesis, where, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, or from the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. For Barenboim, in the beginning was sound is a better example of a creative, unifying force. He believes that the power of music to move us is deeper and more profound than words. He brought together young Arab and Israeli musicians from all walks of life and founded an orchestra and discovered that music overcomes and transcends boundaries and prejudices. Music is the great equalizer. Music in an orchestra is a model of a hierarchy with equality, where every single instrument has its vital part to play and where every note played is essential to the whole. Each has its day. The lectures make powerful, inspiring, and thoughtful reading and are well worth the effort. Barenboim's take on Israel, where he lived for a time as a child, is that Zionism is a Jewish European idea and therefore foreign to the Middle East. The solution, in his eyes, is for Israel to integrate, to become sort of Arabized, to appreciate the Arab culture, and to become part of the Middle East, rather than a European foreign body, which it is at present. And this leads to the ongoing hostility. His vision offers mutual enrichment rather than alienation, just like playing music. The second person is Tony Blair, a closet Anglican when English Prime Minister who came out as a Roman Catholic when he left his ministerial office. I know suspicion hovers about him through his support of the invasion of Iraq and other questionable and dodgy decisions, but a recent article in Time magazine about his vision is worth consideration. Recently, he has birthed the Tony Blair Faith Foundation. Blair's goal is to enable faith to overcome the dividedness it arouses so that it can have a real voice in the world. He believes that religion is key to the global agenda and intends to spend the rest of his life working on interfaith perspectives and cooperative actions that build bridges and look to heal our confused world. Blair believes that in the West we need to overcome the irrelevance of faith that is driven by our consumer-orientated and materialistic society and the frightening extremism that fundamentalism can become. Interestingly, he claims that the passionately secular Europe that we belong to, these countries, need to understand the importance faith has for Americans and Arabs alike. And I had to admit to the truth of his statement that it is we who are out of step with much of the world as to the influence of religion inherent in daily life. Much of the world is deeply, deeply religious as a society, in their governance, in their daily lives. Blair thinks that in the rich world, and I quote, without spiritual values, there is an emptiness that cannot be filled by material good and wealth. It is faith that gives meaning to billions of lives, and he will try to broker faith to the betterment of all. As Blair says, faith is part of our future, a vital part of our future. He does all this as a committed Catholic Christian who, in the Time article, Bono actually likens to a pilgrim. We are part of a global society. We can speak to our friend in Africa or Ireland at the drop of a hat. We all draw from the well of our inherited histories and genes or genealogies. We are Abraham's children too. We are also, according to the theory, only 6 degrees apart from anyone else in the world, and that's an interesting theory. Baron Boyme and Blair speak of what we long for and what we must act for. They speak for a better, more harmonious world, where life is seen to be best, where we can all live equally and faithfully with our God, the God Abraham walked and talked with, whom Hagar called El Roy, where we are all vital and essential to the whole, just like an orchestra. Movingly, Israeli poet Shin Shalom writes in some Jewish liturgy that is used in English synagogues. He writes, "Ishmael, my brother, how long shall we fight each other? My brother from times bygone, my brother Hagar's son, my brother the wandering one. One angel was sent to us both. One angel watched over our growth there in the wilderness, death threatening through thirst. I, a sacrifice on the altar, Sarah's first. Ishmael, my brother, hear my plea. It was the angel who tied thee to me. Time is running out. Put hatred to sleep. Shoulder to shoulder, let's water our sheep." Amen.